Welcome to Former Adventist Podcast. I'm Colleen Tinker.
And I'm Nikki Stevenson.
So Nikki, today we're taking a tiny break from Revelation, but it's actually related to Revelation. And we're doing this because we've had people questioning us. Why are you quoting Gary so often, and who is Gary? Well, I think it's probably worth a little further explanation than we've given. And especially since we are now near the end of Revelation. So why don't we talk a little bit about who Gary is and why we refer to him? Now, I'm going to just start us off by saying, Gary Inrig has been the overseeing pastor of Former Adventist Fellowship since we started it in 1999. He was pastoring the first Christian church that we ever became members of after we left Adventism. And I know I've told this story before, but I was so marked by the time we visited Trinity. You know, we didn't know exactly where we were going to church, but we knew we couldn't be Adventists any longer. And we visited Trinity, which wasn't far from our house. And I'll never forget sitting in church and hearing Gary preach through Ephesians 2. He was doing an inductive series through the book of Ephesians. And when we first attended, he was in Ephesians 2. And I believe it was our second Sunday there that made such an indelible impression on us. He preached from Ephesians 2, 1 to 4, and those happen to be some of the marking verses in my life now where we learn that we are born spiritually dead by nature, children of wrath, but God in His mercy made us alive in Christ Jesus. And as Gary taught through those four verses, I sat in church and cried. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this man is brilliant. I had actually, embarrassingly enough, believed that evangelicals were anti-intellectual. But I think I'd been taught that, implicitly or explicitly, that only Adventists really believed the whole Bible, that only Adventists placed such an emphasis on education, that evangelical pastors were, they used that fundamentalist word, and just were heavy-handed with scripture. But as I sat and listened to Gary, I realized I had never heard anybody understand and use the Bible so well. And he not only explicated the passage in front of us, but he would refer to other places in scripture from memory. And I was shocked, to be honest. The first thing I want to say about who is Gary is this. He has been our FAF pastor since 1999. He is still the pastor of the church where Richard and I attend, and he is still one of the best expositors I've ever heard. Now, you had some reactions to this question too, Nikki, and I'd like you to weigh in on who's Gary? Why are we referring to him?
Well, to begin with, we call him Gary, but he is Dr. Gary Inrig. He holds a doctorate in ministry and a master's in theology from Dallas Theological Seminary. He's authored 11 books. He's taught in various capacities in many seminars and Bible colleges. He's done mission work all over the world. He was a founding member of the Gospel Coalition, and he sits on the Council Emeritus of that same coalition. Beginning in September of 2013, he launched the Loma Linda Word Search Bible Study that was designed to reach Loma Linda students. It was also the beginning of the planting of Redeemer Fellowship in Loma Linda, where he is the lead pastor. And like you said, he's been a pastoral mentor for Former Adventist Fellowship since 1999. And you'll also hear us talk about Elizabeth, who is also Dr. Elizabeth Inrig. She holds a master's in biblical studies from Dallas Theological Seminary and a doctorate in ministry from Trinity International University. She formerly was an adjunct professor and director of the women's ministry program at Talbot Seminary.
And for 10 years, she was the director of women's ministries in the Evangelical Free Church of America.
We speak casually about Gary and Elizabeth because they have been a part of our lives for our entire walk as Christians.
That's true.
And they are humble people.
They are.
I remember the first time I referred to him as, I think it was Dr. Gary, and it just didn't sit right. It was just different.
He doesn't want people to refer to him that way.
No, no. They're very educated in the Word of God. They live their lives completely submitted to Scripture. Not only have they taught us how to read the Bible, how to have a proper hermeneutic, they've also taught us how to live our lives submitted to Scripture, even in the hardest times. We've watched them walk through really challenging times in their lives, and they've come through the fire like gold every time.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I remember being surprised. It was 14 years ago now when Gary announced to the church that he had been given a cancer diagnosis. And he said, I have to model what the Bible says to do in cases like this. And he went in front of each of the services with elders and was anointed, and they prayed for him. He's been in remission. It was, you know, he was treated and he has not had a recurrence. But we watched him do that, and we prayed for him through those months, not knowing exactly what would happen, of course. But the Lord was faithful, and watching him not miss a sermon. Mm-hmm. You know, there were so many times when I thought, well, in my past, any Adventist pastor who is experiencing the health problems that Gary might have been walking through would have taken a day off. But Gary, unless he was absent or in the hospital, almost always pulled himself up and went and preached. And I can remember him preaching years ago with a fever of 101, but his call was to preach the word, and he was going to do it. He and Elizabeth have modeled to Richard and me, for example, what it means to do ministry and to do it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. In obedience to the Lord's calling, it's been a huge impact on my life to have watched them do ministry.
And I would even say that their modeling of how to approach the Word of God has shaped what we do, even on this podcast.
Yes.
Because they're not interested in you thinking much of them. They're interested in you learning how to read the Word of God. They want you to walk away after having heard them, knowing how to rightly handle Scripture, how to trust it and honor it with your life.
With your life. And that's a key phrase. You know, Nikki, we've often said on the podcast, and very often to each other, what I want most of all for people who leave Adventism is not just that they leave Adventism, because I think that that can leave a person in a more vulnerable position and spiritually more damaged than not leaving at all, unless you meet the Lord and learn to trust the Word. It's only the Word of God that fixes our heads, and we came out of a really warped and deceptive counterfeit worldview. And there's nothing that fixes that besides the living Word of God. And Gary and Elizabeth together, over the years, have taught both of us how to study, how to honor, and how to live by the Bible and trust God in the process. I'll never forget watching Gary and Elizabeth both 10 years ago now walk through the death of their oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. It was a huge grief to the whole community, actually. Mm-hmm. But they not only walked through the death of their oldest daughter, they became the legal guardians of her two children, mm-hmm. who were a teenager and younger than teens at the time. And so we watched them go through that whole transition with grace and dignity and consistency and dedication. Mm-hmm. And it's been nothing but an inspiration to us. So while we're here talking through the book of Revelation and we're saying, now we learned from Pastor Gary, or Gary says this, it's not because we have picked a guru or that we've just picked a book that we understood or a preacher that we particularly liked and thought, I'm going to adopt his view. We have some very specific reasons why we quote him. Now, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, like you said, Pastor Gary has been a faithful teacher, and he has proven himself to be a faithful teacher over the years. Anytime that I have had a question for Pastor Gary, mm-hmm. his answer isn't something that could only be generated from his own mind. He will take you to the Word of God and show you how the Word of God answers your question. He makes Scripture accessible, and he reads the Bible in Greek and Hebrew. He has a Greek and Hebrew Bible. I remember sitting at the table with him during the former Adventist conference that we just had. If you haven't watched it, go on YouTube and check it out, beginning on Friday. And I looked down, and there was his Bible with all of the squiggly lines. But he's faithful to the text. He's faithful to the context. Elizabeth is as well. They're committed to teaching people how to approach scripture. That's their goal. So the goal of answering any question is to build in you confidence and trust in scripture so that when you walk away, you don't think, oh, wow, I'm so glad I have Gary. You go and think, wow, I can't believe God has made his word knowable.
Yes.
Not that we aren't grateful for Gary. It's a kind of humility that reminds us that the ground is level at the cross.
Yes.
And this is knowable. And his job is to be a disciple so that when people walk away, they know the word of God. Now, that being said, one of the drums that we beat here, hopefully enough, maybe not enough, is that we want to see former Adventists come to faith, trusting the gospel, and then putting themselves in a church.
Yes.
Putting themselves under good teaching, faithful teaching, with a high view of scripture. And if a person does this, when they speak to you about the things they're learning, you're going to hear them talk about their pastor. They're going to talk about their teachers.
Right.
That's just a part of where God put them and how they're learning and how they're growing. And so Gary has been boots on the ground with us, not on TV, not on the internet. We know him. He has proven himself and his love for scripture and his ability to handle it well. And so when we approach something as difficult and complicated to us going in as the book of Revelation, of course we go to a trusted shepherd that God put in our lives. That makes sense. Also, under their ministry, they have taught us how to find other commentators who approach scripture with the same care. And so there are other people that we pull from time to time to learn. But we've stayed really close to Gary on this. I think he's very linear in his explanations. He's very, very clear. And he walked through the whole book with us in word search.
Yeah.
So it just made sense that we would walk through that with him for the podcast.
Now, I also want to stress that it's not that we have not read other kinds of approaches to Revelation.
Right.
I want to make that very clear. Several years ago, somebody I respect and trusted very much sent us a large book on amillennialism by Riddlebarger. And Richard and I read that book from cover to cover, walked through the man's reasoning. And there are really distinct reasons that I can actually point to from a contextual and linguistic perspective that made us say this doesn't add up to what we see in scripture. Now, I will say, as we know, these different views don't divide people in the body of Christ, but they are different methods of reading scripture. The covenant theology model that helps define the amillennial position is a model that I don't see in the Bible. It handles the covenants of the Bible differently than I have learned to understand them. It handles them by not necessarily using these covenants named in the Bible, but creating other constructs like a covenant of works, a covenant of grace, when the Bible actually names certain covenants, beginning with the covenant with Noah, the covenant with Abraham, the Mosaic covenant, and then the new covenant. From my reading of scripture, from the way I have understood it, from hearing Elizabeth teach women, from Gary teach the church, from reading the Bible myself in context, I see a very clear new covenant model. Plus, I've read other books by other theologians as well who see it this way. Galatians and Hebrews makes it very clear to me that the Lord Jesus has fulfilled the Mosaic covenant, and the new covenant is something we Gentiles are grafted into that was promised to Israel. And it's a completely new covenant with a new law, the law of Christ. That being so important for people who are coming out of a religion that made Sabbath an idol, that view of the covenants, the way it's actually laid out in the Bible, is the only way I know to answer the Sabbath arguments. And Gary teaches from the perspective of those biblical covenants. And that's one reason I've come to respect his exegesis so much, is that it's contextual. He uses exactly what the words say. The words mean what they say. He doesn't neglect the first audience, what it will mean to the first audience, what it will mean to the person writing the book, and how those meanings can be applied to us. But that application is the last thing we do after understanding what it meant in context to the first audience.
And when we get to complicated passages of scripture, which honestly, a lot of the Adventist proof texts live in those kind of complicated spaces, he doesn't answer those questions with a construct that has been put together by theology
That's
majors.
Right. Yeah, no isms.
No, the answers are given within the context of the passage. Now, all of this being said, we do not break fellowship with people who use a different hermeneutic. It's just that we are in Revelation and we were in the book of Daniel previously, and it's in these kind of books that these viewpoints emerge.
That's right.
They show up. And the only way we know how to talk about these passages is by talking about how we've learned them and making very clear that we don't divide with other believers
right.
over this.
I want to stress again that we are not teaching or talking about or thinking through these books from a perspective of adhering to a theological construct or ism. For example, we're often told, oh, you're dispensationalists. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have to say, I had never studied dispensationalism. I still haven't sat and studied dispensationalism. So I don't even know exactly what a classic dispensationalist would say about this book. Mm-hmm. But what I have learned from Gary and Elizabeth is how to study in context, using the normal rules of grammar, punctuation, and vocabulary, and reading the Bible as I would read a normal book. I believe the method is usually called the historical grammatical literary model.
Yeah, and this is something that I think a lot of Christians use in other parts of scripture. It gets complicated when you get into prophecy, but it's a hermeneutic that we carry into prophecy too.
Exactly.
The other thing that I would want to say to someone asking, why are you talking about Gary? So this podcast is essentially, by nature, a commentary. If you listen to the introduction of the podcast, it says, join friends Colleen Tinker and Nikki Stevenson as they discuss their life after Adventism. Well, the biggest part of our life after Adventism is coming to learn the Bible correctly.
Yes.
It's taking back the Word of God because we were lied to with the Word of God.
Yes.
And so we have to, in a sense, deconstruct the cultic uses of the scriptures and then learn to trust the normal language of the Bible and to trust the God of the Bible. And so that's a part of our life after Adventism, but we are not sitting here as doctors and theology majors or pastors or teachers who are trying to lead anyone.
Right.
We are talking about the Word of God. And asking you to please, for the love of the body of Christ, go to church.
Right.
Put yourself under a pastor, a teacher. If you have questions about what you're hearing from us, bring it to your pastor. Ask him how he understands it.
We're doing this because we have had to unpack our own heads. Mm-hmm. As you said, Nikki, so much of Adventists' proof texts reside in those confusing places of scripture. And that's not how doctrine is formed, I have learned. Apostolic doctrine is formed from the apostolic teachings, but Adventism took obscure passages out of context and made doctrine. For example, whoever heard of taking a text like Daniel 8:14, for unto 2,300 days then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, and making a central doctrine out of that, which actually says, heaven will be cleansed after 2,300 years, beginning in 457 BC, and then Jesus went up, and he ascended, and in 1844, he entered the most holy place and began the investigative judgment, and using that text as the central passage for that. That's just crazy-making. We have had to unpack our heads from an entire construct that misused the Bible. So, Daniel and Revelation were the places where the central ideas of Adventism were birthed, but they were birthed from the text out of context. That's why we said to one another, we have to take back Daniel, and then we have to take back Revelation. And we know how hard that is for former Adventists. It's hard even for Christians. But for former Adventists, it's more than just difficult to understand. It's physically daunting.
Oh, yeah.
There's people who become physically ill when they find they have to read Daniel or Revelation.
We know true believers that we love and walk in fellowship with who can't bring themselves to listen to the series because they're not ready to deal with these books yet. And the thing that is so sad about it, I understand it. I really, really do. But what's so sad about it is that the book of Revelation is a book full of encouragement for the church, for the people of God, for all people of God. This book is just absolutely amazing. And in fact, Paul even says in his letter to the Thessalonians that we're to encourage each other with the coming of Christ.
Yes.
And so to be afraid of it and to not want to approach it is the sad fruit of having been abused by it.
Yes.
So we knew we were going to go at this with a different perspective from others. It wouldn't matter what perspective we took. It would not be the same as absolutely everybody because the body of Christ has different views on this. Mm-hmm. So we knew we were walking into kind of
a quagmire.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And we really do hope, and it is our prayer, that we have not made anyone to feel divided out, because the central thing, the clear thing, is that Christ is coming back for us, guys. However it looks.
And he's let us know what to look for as it happens. Not beforehand, but as it happens, he's given us enough so we know, oh yes, he said this would happen.
I feel like I can share this in the context of this particular podcast episode. I recently was a part of a Bible study that sat around a teacher who was on video, not in person. Someone that I don't know personally. I know her work, but I don't know her personally. And I felt myself becoming frustrated, not so much with the person, but with the fact that I didn't have the ability to walk up to her after her teaching, to ask for clarity, or to know her personally. Who is it that I'm sitting under? Who is it that is talking me through these passages? What is her worldview? Now, I'm not saying that there isn't value in listening to people through media.
Right.
I think that, you know, we've received a lot of email. This podcast has helped a lot of people. But I really want to say again that it's so important that we are standing physically shoulder to shoulder with other believers in the body of Christ as we walk in faith and learn how to trust the Bible. These things are wonderful things to add to your walk, to add to your life. Be discerning. Mm-hmm. But don't just rely on a podcast or on a video or on a sermon online. Go and find the body of Christ, because the command isn't just to go and look for meaningful, wonderful, lasting friendships. The command is to go and set your love on them without expecting anything back from them. To go and serve and to live your life as a living sacrifice, just as Christ did, laying down his body for us. We do the same for the body of Christ. And you can't do that online.
No, you can't. As it says in Hebrews 3, encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that you will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You're absolutely right. That can't happen in a vacuum. And even if you can't find a church that you feel is deeply expository, find a church with a doctrinal statement that is orthodox, that holds up the Trinity, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the inerrancy of his word, with a pastor who loves the Lord and honors the Bible, somebody who is taking seriously shepherding the sheep that God has given him. And Nikki, that's why we quote Gary and Elizabeth, because they have done that for us.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, as you're looking for that church, go back to the beginning of our walk through Revelation and look at the things that the Lord commends the churches for. Find a church that loves well, a church that won't put up with false teaching, that will discipline those who are disturbing the body of Christ, who will protect and guard the sheep as well as the doctrine.
Yes. So that's how we can sit across the table from each other with coffee and talk about Revelation, because we've been taught well how to love the word and how to honor the language of the Bible and how to see that the Lord himself will teach us when we submit ourselves to him and to his word. And so I hope that clears up the question, who's Gary and why are you quoting him? because we don't read Greek and we don't read Hebrew. And we can see in our pastor's teaching through this book that he has honored the language. And we've even, as we've taught through it, asked him questions about things that we've come up against. And because he knows the language and he has the experience, he's been able to help us. And I just want to say, he's not the only one we refer to, but we do select commentaries and commentators that use the historical, grammatical, literary method of interpretation, because it seems to us to be the most honest in handling the actual words of the Bible. So as we move into the rest of the book of Revelation, and there isn't much left, we're coming to the good part where the Lord Jesus will be reigning. We hope that you'll stick with us, and we hope that you will actually open the book and read it. And don't worry if you don't understand everything. And know that this book leads with the promise that all who read and hear the book will be blessed, because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know this Jesus that this book is about, that has promised to come back, who has taken our sins, who has died our death, who has experienced the wrath of God on our behalf, and has broken the curse of death that is ours by nature. If you haven't trusted this Jesus, if you don't know him, we ask you to do that, to go to the Bible, to read, for example, the Gospel of John, and see what it is that Jesus did, who he is, who he claimed to be, and how we know we can trust him. And place your faith in him. And we pray that this book and the rest of the books that we do on the Former Adventist podcast, and that the Bible in general, will bless you and change you as we have found it changing us. And we thank the Lord for putting us together with you in the body of Christ, and that when we know him, we are eternally united by his Spirit. And when we are physically in the kingdom with him, we will also know each other.
Join us next week as we return to Revelation chapter 19.
We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to Former Adventist Podcast. You may email us at formeradventist@gmail.com. Former Adventist Podcast is a ministry of Life Assurance Ministries. For more information, weekly articles, videos, and a donation link, go to our website at proclamationmagazine.com.